The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You can also check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. I don't care if you listen or not. I just want credit for you listening. Stream the thing and don't listen. What do I care? By the way, playing games are here. And you know what's bananas? The Lakers are probably favored at least through the Western Conference in every series. They might wind up as an 8 seed. They got to beat the Warriors in the playing game. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Yeah, the NBA postseason. By the way, I don't want to hear it. Play-in, not the playoffs. Shut up, nerds. The regular season is over. You're still playing. It's called the playoffs. That's a playoff. What do you mean play? Well, if you win this, then you get to the playoffs. Is the regular season over? Yes. Is there a game that you're playing? Yes, you are in the playoffs. Lakers are in the playoffs. But it's one and, well, it's two and done for them because they're a 7-8. If they were a 9-10, it's one and done. Loser of the 9-10 goes home. Loser of the 7-8 plays the winner of the 9-10. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. What player has the most pressure to win the chip this year? And by the way, I've noticed this trend where people are saying it's actually Ship. Like, it's actually, remember once upon a time, it's like, well, actually, he had three RBI. Really, why? Because it already means runs batted in. Wrong, I've been using the word nerd a lot, but wrong, nerd! Wrong. RBIs became its own thing. Like, the word, the acronym, the RBI became its own word, and then if you want to pluralize it, you have to add an S on the end. I don't care what's technically correct. That's how you do it. And if you don't do it that way, you never took a bunch of baseball cards and a cigar box to school to trade them as a kid. Now listen, it's Chip. I know it's championship, but the Chip really combines the beginning and the end of the word. The ch from the champion and the ip from the ship. He has three ships. Get out of here. What is he, an admiral and he's got his own navy? No. Chips. So which player has the most pressure to win the chip is the question. Listen to Jay Williams, co-host, of course, of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Raj, he puts the J. Will in Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. This morning, on which player has the most pressure to win the chip?
I would go Giannis, because KD and Kyrie already have three championships between them. Granted, people want to see KD do that in Brooklyn. I just go back to, like, Giannis is a two-time MVP. Giannis, this team has gotten retooled. You got Drew Holiday. You get some other pieces there to help out this team get to the next level. I want to see if Milwaukee can actually finally close the deal and get to an Eastern Conference championship and get to a world championship, because Giannis has the pieces around him.
I disagree with Jay Williams. And while I know he was a number two overall pick, and Keyshawn Johnson, he's talking to a number one overall pick. We have a lot of athletes who achieved on a very high level in the NBA and NFL at ESPN. I will mention, I used to play NBA 2K. Well, okay, I didn't exactly play it, but I've seen people play it. Okay, fine, not exactly, but I'm aware of its existence. So I think I have a lot of credibility here. Now listen, Jay Williams is wrong. Jay Williams is wrong because to win the whole thing, a team like a Giannis-led team with the kind of parts they have does that about once every 10 years. And there are special circumstances. Dirk Nowitzki, with a lot of kind of perfectly positioned role players against the Miami Big Three in their first year together. And Dirk was on fire. Like, Dirk was the best player in the world that year. That happens once every 10 years. So what was that? 10, 11? 9, 10, 10, 11? About 10 years ago. And we were talking about this on First Take today with Chris Bosch. And it did occur to me that I'll say things like, look, if you don't have multiple Hall of Famers in their primes, MVP-level players, then at least you need an MVP-level player and two more All-Stars, right? But it does occur to me that where there are examples, here's the exception that proves the rule. Usually it's because the team that did have what I'm referring to had injuries, right? But I realized when talking about it on TV today, that is not a bug. That's a feature. It's a feature, not a bug, of big threes. Teams that concentrate resources in two or three players are more susceptible to key injuries derailing their chances because they're not going to be as deep as teams who can't do that, right? So the Bucks, you look at like the Eastern Conference, you go, well, look, if the Nets are healthy, Bucks ain't going to beat them. But Nets haven't played a lot together this year. And then someone like me will say, well, that's because, well, listen, that's because of injury. But if they would have been healthy, then yeah, but that's a feature, not a bug of a big three. One guy, something happens, all of a sudden it's like, well, you don't have continuity. The Bucks are, now obviously, if anything happened to Giannis, it's over. Knock wood, that doesn't happen. But the Bucks are a more well-balanced, deeper kind of team. Okay, that's true. But Giannis is not facing the most pressure. Because the reality is, and that's what Jay Will said, he's facing the most pressure. He's not. Because the reality is, if you really look at it, Giannis is a big dressed up as a wing. And as I've said a million times, a great big, like an all-time great big, needs another guy as good as him, who's a not a big, right, usually, to win the whole thing. Shaq had a prime Penny, and even that wasn't good enough. It wasn't until he got with a prime Kobe and then a prime Wade that he won any championships at all four with those two guys, Kobe and Wade, in their primes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won zero championships in the NBA without either Oscar Robertson or Magic Johnson, the two greatest point guards to that point in history who ever lived. Another guy who's not a big on his level. What about Olajuwon? Olajuwon played in the league without Jordan. Remember, now Olajuwon steps forward. And he played against a team in the Eastern Conference with Patrick Ewing without another player. That's an exception. Next year, Olajuwon had Drexler. Who on that team is on Giannis's level? Not Jrue Holiday. Not Chris Middleton. Stop. They're not. They're nice players. But Giannis doesn't really have a crime partner. Now you look at the Nets. The most pressure is on KD. Because, for better or worse, people perceive the Nets as KD's team. I see it as Harden's team. But people perceive it as KD's team. And after what happened in Golden State, okay, KD, you don't get to join a team. You're still creating a super team, but let's see you do it. KD can't afford to lose that. KD got two more guys on his level, give or take. Harden and Kyrie. Giannis doesn't have two guys like that. Giannis doesn't have one guy like that. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. By the way, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I understand it's National Dirty Dishes Day. National Dirty Dishes Day. I gotta say, this is something that drives me nuts. I'm pretty organized and neat, right? So, when you're done with your dish, if you have a dishwasher, the dishwasher doesn't clean the dish for you; it sanitizes it. You gotta scrape your plate, rinse it, maybe even scrub it a little, make sure it doesn't look dirty, and then you put it in the dishwasher. Okay, it sterilizes it. And what drives me nuts is the sink. Not just the kids, the adults too, who leave the dirty dishes in the sink. It takes you an extra 15 seconds to just rinse your silverware and plate and stick it in the dishwasher. 15, 20 seconds maybe. Because when you really think about it, the number one thing that gives you a messy house is the sink. The dirty dishes in the sink. That's number one. Followed probably by laundry, number two. But laundry's easy. Just take it and chuck it all in the hamper. That's easy. But the dirty dishes have a cascading effect because now all of a sudden you can't get into the sink, right? So now you got pots and pans that need to be cleaned. You got no way to do it. Everything's piled up. Who's the coach of the year? No, Monty Williams? His peers say Monty Williams is coach of the year. I think he did a great job, Monty Williams. But let's be honest. They were 8-0 in the bubble last year and they added Chris Paul. And going into this season, looking at that roster, I said it on this show. Kendrick Perkins said it on this show. The Suns are one of the teams to beat. I mean, sometimes you, like, how are Harden and Kyrie going to coexist? I don't know. I need to see it. How are Chris Paul and Devin Booker going to coexist? Wait, the perfect point guard and the perfect two guard? How are they going to coexist in a backcourt? I don't know. Perfectly? And then you have forwards like Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, who are 3-and-D guys, who don't need the ball to be effective. And the biggest question mark on the team is the number one overall draft pick, DeAndre Ayton, who's already pretty good and who Chris Paul should have a good effect on going into the season. An 8-0 team in the bubble added Chris Paul. Of course they're going to be good. So Monty Williams deserves credit for sure. Coach of the year is clearly and obviously and by far Tom Thibodeau. He took a team that, what did they win, 20 games? They were a way sub 500 team. A team that's always gone nowhere. A team without a roster, with a roster you look at, you go, boy, they're going to be good. The Knicks are a situation where if every single thing goes right, maybe you can be pretty decent. And they were better than pretty decent. They were a solid team, the Knicks, this year. They're pretty good. That's Thibodeau. Now, I'm not taking credit away from Monty Williams, but he had the horses. He had the horses this year. You look at on paper, like if this was 2 years from now, if DeAndre Ayton continues to develop in 2 years from now as really a top center, I'd take the Suns team maybe to win the whole thing. Well, at least the West. DeAndre Ayton's inexperience is stopping me from doing that. But I credit Monty Williams. But damn, this Phoenix team you knew was going to be good. Meantime, Lakers fans, I got a question for you. Clippers and Mavericks. First round. Last year, the Clippers were my pick to win the whole thing. I'm a Lakers fan, but I'm like, you get Kyrie and Paul. Kyrie plus Kawhi equals Kyrie. Interesting. You get Kawhi and Paul George and just kind of drop them into a 48-win team. That team is going to have continuity. They're going to be ready to go. The Lakers team, on the other hand, had to figure it all out with LeBron and AD. And LeBron was coming off injury and older. So I looked at the Clippers and said, this is going to be their year. But I had to admit after the first round, Mavs should have beaten them. Porzingis had two nonsense calls go against him. He barely argued them. And they threw him out of the game. That game, the Clippers won. But the Mavs were winning with Porzingis on the court. And then Porzingis got hurt, missed the rest of the series. The Clippers won because of that. The Mavericks have Porzingis now. And over the second half of the year, played much better than the first. But Lakers fans, let me ask you something. Would you rather have the Clippers beat the Mavericks, or sorry, have the Clippers lose to the Mavericks, because Lakers fans always root against the Clippers, which is the proper thing to do. Oh, they're both L.A. for the fourth time today. Shut up, nerds. They're both L.A. Any team with two cities, you got to root. You pick a team. Root against the other team. Lakers fans love Clippers fans' misery, and there's plenty of it. But would you rather have them lose to the Mavericks in the first round, or would you rather get their hopes up? The Clippers beat the Mavericks. They think they're going to do something. Climb higher and higher so the fall is greater and the pain more exquisite once they collapse. Which one, Lakers fans? Meantime, Mavericks fans, you think you can do something this year? They were my dark horse pick before the season started, but man, COVID and health and safety protocols and Porzingis injuries really derailed them. But are they getting healthy at just the right time? 888-SAY-ESPN. Jonas in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, thanks for taking my call. And I am terrified of what would happen if the Brooklyn Nets fool around and make it out the East and even go to a seven-game series against the Lakers, whoever's coming out the West. I'm
terrified. Who are you rooting for? When you say terrified, who are you rooting for?
I'm terrified because of what it means for the NBA. I'm not really rooting for anybody, but I'm really pulling for the resurrection of the squad. You know what I mean? Like about four or five ballers coming together and really making a run. So I'm low-key hoping the Knicks make a run, even Miami, because I'm trying to think of the last time I looked at a squad. Maybe like the Detroit Pistons might be the last.
Spurs, maybe you could argue, because Duncan got old and Ginobili and Parker got old and Kawhi was young, and that was kind of a squad. You know, it's just, I know what you mean. Here's the best thing about the NBA is also the worst thing about the NBA. The NBA is a best of seven. It's not one and done like college, unless you're 9-10 nowadays in the play-in, but, you know, that team's not going to win anyway. So, and it's not like football, one and done. And it's not like baseball, which has some randomness in it where the best team doesn't always win. We always know who the best team is in the NBA, and that team always wins, at least among a pool of two or three teams. So when you see three ballers get together on the level of KD, Harden, and Kyrie, if they're all healthy and they play together, you watch, you say, oh yeah, they can play. It's over, right? That's both the best thing about the NBA, best team always wins, and the worst, you wish there was a little randomness injected into the postseason so that it wasn't so obvious what's going to happen. However, a lot of people talking themselves into the Bucks right now. We're going to get into that in a little bit. On the Goodyear Hotline, Ramona Shelburne, ESPN senior writer. Ramona.
What's going on, Max?
How you doing, Ramona? What's going on?
I'm good. How are you?
For a year and a half, COVID meant social distancing and masks, and I didn't get a single cold, right? Flu season was almost non-existent. I'm susceptible to it. Every 8 or 10 weeks, I get a cold that lasts, like, soup to nuts, 2 weeks, right? I've been fine the whole time. And then in the last week, a wicked sore throat has ripped through the household, Ramona. So I'm getting over it. That's what's going on. How are you?
No, I'm fine. I actually am dreading this, too, because I feel like our immune systems, they're not in practice. It's like we're like LeBron trying to come back right now, right? Like, we've been out for all these weeks, and now we got to come back and play in the playoffs. Like, we need to, like, ramp up a little bit.
Social distancing. I know people were suffering with it, Ramona, and businesses and everything. Of course, that's terrible. And obviously, the toll on human life was terrible. Yeah. But the social distancing and masks itself, I was good with it. Who do I need to see the time?
Max, I went to a Dodger game. Okay, it was the first time I'd gone out because I'm all vaccinated now, and I feel like, okay, I can go out a little. And I went, and it was so nice. There was no lines. I didn't have to wait in traffic. And they go, oh, there's a vaccinated section you can sit in if you want. And I go, but I like all the room.
It's better this way. So let me ask you this, speaking of health. Speaking of health, Ramona, LeBron and AD, that's what's on all Lakers fans' minds. And Lakers fans are all over the world, not just in L.A. What is the latest on the health of LeBron James and Anthony Davis?
It's okay. Like, they're going to play. But, you know, we won't know until they actually play. If the little nagging things that they had at the end of the year, and AD is more of a nagging thing. LeBron is just something he's going to have to manage. You and I talked about this before. Like, this ankle injury, we're going to be talking about it the whole playoffs for as long as they last. Okay. For as long as the Lakers are in the playoffs. And it's, I don't know how to put this. I mean, I've seen superstars have great playoff runs managing an injury the whole time. I've seen that. I don't know that I've seen that in a guy who's 35 years old. I don't know that I've seen that in a team that really hasn't had time to come together and find its own place. I mean, I look at the Lakers this year going into the playoffs, and part of me says the defending champs, when they all get on the court, like, you should have, I mean, the second LeBron walked back in the building, they started moving the ball, their passing was great. Like, it was like, oh, okay, that's the championship team. I see what has been missing. But it really does take a minute to find your groove. Like, that's why LeBron wanted to come back with a couple of weeks left so that they could find a way of playing together. Because we forget that they have a pretty new team out there. Like, nobody's played with Drummond that many minutes. Nobody's played with Schroeder that many games. Like, they're going to have to figure this out, much like Brooklyn in the other conference, in the playoffs.
And by the way, much like Brooklyn, they have a guy in LeBron, and in Brooklyn they have Harden with D'Antoni, where as long as that guy's good, you think they'll figure it out. But along those lines, Ramona, let me ask you this. The Clippers ducked the Lakers in the first round. They tanked. They threw a game in order to avoid the Lakers in the first round. Now, I think they should have just played let the chips fall where they may, right? But I also thought that was a stupid thing to do. If I were the Clippers, I'd want the Lakers right now before they get ahead of steam, before they get acclimated and they get the chemistry and rhythm together. I thought the Clippers' best chance to bump the Lakers was in the first round. And if they're lucky, they'll catch them in the conference finals, right, when the Lakers are ready to steamroll people. What is your thought about the Clippers' duck of the Lakers?
100%. Okay, Max. Do you remember last year in the bubble when the Lakers were not great? Like, they were just very average in those first warm-up games that the NBA had when everybody was back into it. They lost the first game that they played to Portland, right? They lost a game in that Portland series. They lost a game in the Houston series. And, you know, I remember writing these columns, like, it seemed like Houston was going to give them a whole series because their defense was so good against the Lakers, right? And as soon as the Lakers figured it out, as soon as they got their, you know, they'd had a 4-month layoff like everybody else, they just needed to get their groove back. soon as they figure it out, they just start steamrolling people. And I think it's very similar to last year, where last year, I would say that team had a lot of time together on the court. AD and LeBron were playing through everything. Every little nagging thing they played through, they had a lot of time to figure out. They also had, and this is the one thing I worry about, because you know with boxing, like, what's the famous line? It's really hard to get up and run at 5 in the morning when you're sleeping on silk sheets.
Silk pajamas,
right?
That's a Marvin Hagler line, yeah.
Right? And it's a little like that when you're the defending champs. Like, last year, AD had something to prove. LeBron had something to prove. Dwight Howard had something to prove. This is, like, they don't have that same hunger chip on their shoulder that they did last year. You're just defending your title. You're not having to prove a lifetime or a career's worth of narrative about you and what you can and can't do. And I think, like, they got to find that. And I don't know what it's going to be next. Maybe it's LeBron realizing, like, you know, this fifth ring that he's chasing. This is what really puts you into the rarefied air in the NBA on the Mount Rushmore. There's several people with four. If you get that five, now you're in really select company. I don't know. Maybe that's what pushes him. Maybe it's that Space Jam's coming out this summer. Maybe they just need to not flop so that they can promote Space Jam. I don't know what it is, but they have to find that same
the eye of the tiger, Ramona.
Chip on
they
shoulder.
Need to find the eye of the tiger. They need to go back to Watts, go to the gym that Apollo took Rocky to. And find the eye of the tiger.
Yeah.
Ramona, thanks a million as always. Ramona Shelburne on the
Anytime,
Goodyear man. Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Well, know what else the Lakers had last year that they don't this year? Playoff Rondo. He's on the Clippers now. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. A Hall of Famer is sick and tired of today's diva QBs. Is he right? Friends, if you're in a job that you can't stand or you're worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu. Fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with them. And apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, and here's the whole thing, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Are you looking back already and going, damn, that year plus of social distancing and mask wearing, President Biden saying we take off the mask now and stop social distancing, we're vaccinated, stuff's going to get back to normal, and I'm in the same spot I was in. If you're lucky, if you still have that, oh, I'm in the same spot. You would have done my computer career. You'd be ready to not just have a job, but a career. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you. Too many diva quarterbacks?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Spoke to a team source who said the Packers have engaged with Aaron Rodgers and his representatives, and they will continue to try to do so. They know they have to mend relationships.
We want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that. We'll continue to work at it each and every day.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. You got a dirty dish problem, too? The problem is, first of all, if you have a garbage disposal and you got, like, the divider and the sinks, and the kids put the dishes in the plate, you know, the dirty dishes with food on them still, they don't scrape them really, and they put them in the part without the garbage disposal. That's another thing, you know, and now the pots and the pans pile up because you got no space to wash them. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's apparently National Dirty Dish Day. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Between Vince Lombardi and, the Brett Favre Super Bowl, the Packers went from really the answer to America's team, you know, Tex Schramm, a PR guy, a snake oil salesman, right? He was the guy who came up with, or at least a salesman, he's the guy who came up with America's team for the Cowboys, and fools, suckers like Raj Grobes fell for it. Oh, the Cowboys, that's America's team. But in fact, America's team has always been really the Packers. That's the team of Vince Lombardi. That's the team, back in the old days in advertising, they would ask you, does it play in Peoria? Meaning it may be big in New York or LA, but does it play in Peoria, meaning the middle of the country? And because Peoria back then was considered a kind of good representative demographic
town or a demographically representative town of America, or at least middle America. And that's like that's that neck of the woods, Wisconsin. And the Packers are the team of not only Vince Lombardi, but later, you know, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, not to mention Bart Starr. And so when their GM, Ron Wolf, showed up, it was not the same Packers team, not the same kind of dominant brand as it had been once upon a time when Vince Lombardi was coach, right? And I want you to listen to what Ron Wolf said about quarterbacks. Remember, this is a team with three of the greatest ever, right? This is what Ron Wolf said about diva quarterbacks on 1250 AM The Fan in Milwaukee. Listen to this.
It appears that today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterback. My time. They're hired to play the position, quarterback. These guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. A lot of divas playing in that league right now. And the thing that I fail to understand is all these guys that are doing this have long-term deals.
Well, I mean, look. Well, for who cares if it's a diva, right? Like, if the quarterback's a diva, do you win Super Bowls or not? Are you successful or not? And I'm going to get into to Ron Wolf's comments in a second, because he was a very successful GM. And also just executive. He won Super Bowls as a member of the front office of the Raiders. And I think he was in the front office, but at any rate, he was on the staff, and later on as the GM of the Packers with Brett Favre. But listen to Keyshawn Johnson respond on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin here on ESPN Radio.
So Brett Favre with two lockers wasn't a diva when he played for Ron Wolf. Quarterbacks are some of the most selfish dudes there ever is in the National Football League at a position. But you never hear about that because the narrative is set that they're the leader, they're the this. That I've always said, when people ask me, I'm like, man, they're the most selfish dudes going.
Look, maybe that's the case that quarterbacks have always been more diva than other positions. Keyshawn has more experience with that than I do. I'd say, like, probably actually wideouts. Right, or considered at least the diva spot because they're the home run hitters. But here's the thing about what Ron Wolf said. Players nowadays, they want to be divas. Why? Well, it's weird because they have long-term contracts, but they still want to pick the coach and do this and do that. In my day, they just shut up and dribble, basically, right? And then we're not talking about like weighing in on social issues. We just mean weighing in on team decisions. So Ron Wolf, who's an executive, doesn't like the fact that players have more power. Certain extremely great players have more power. Okay, he doesn't have to like that. He's not used to it, right? It's an old man get off my lawn thing. He's not used to it. Well, who cares what your job description is? Your job description, according to the letter of the law, is one thing. According to the letter of the contract is one thing. The reality of the power you wield in life is something else. Any member of any organization that has an enormous influence on the success of the organization, has leverage over and above what the letter of their contract says. And when the NFL kept making changes because it was good for the bottom line to the offense and to the quarterback position and to the rules protecting the quarterback, a handful of amazingly great quarterbacks started to wield the kind of leverage that only recently NBA players, star players, have wielded. And I can even just name them. Here are the three guys who really have that kind of leverage. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady. Right? Those are the guys that can do what they want. They can dictate to their teams because that's how great they are. Ron Wolf doesn't like it because he's not used to it. In my day, the help stayed in their place. Labor knew not to... Well, yeah, you know what? Things have changed. You got a question for me? Josh in Pennsylvania is apparently fired up about dirty dishes, too. Axe Max is next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com.
KJZ. Everybody, oh, Mac Jones. Stop it. They didn't go out and build this team right now for Mac Jones to be the starter.
The NFL season never ends on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Get the latest tomorrow morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. All right. Axe Max time. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Axe Max is brought to you by DraftKings. And all I can tell you is DraftKings is awesome. Marcellus Wiley got me hooked on DraftKings. Was it Marcellus or you, Raj? Someone. It was you? Yeah,
Marcellus
Raj.
I didn't know what the hell DraftKings was.
About 6 or 7 years ago. Whenever they came out, you're like, oh, you got to try it. And that was it. Once you do DraftKings, it's like, wait, year-long fantasy? Get out of here. Get out of here. Boy, they cook it down till it's till it's a rock, that daily fantasy. America's top-rated daily fantasy app, DraftKings.
X. Max.
All right. Josh in Pennsylvania is fired up about the dishwasher take. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Max. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So just wanted to let you know that you're not alone out there in the world, and that it is a common battle that anyone with families deals with. And just wanted to ask if you had any advice or ways to encourage kids to clean their dishes before.
Well, here's the problem with kids. This is the problem with kids. Everything about parenting actually requires maximum effort. And I'm not a maximum effort type of guy, especially like after work. I just want to relax. But the fact is, the problem is, out of convenience, it's like, all right, fine, you can't do it. Just give it to me. I'll do it, you know? Then the kid never learns. So actually, like all the parenting books that your wife reads when she's pregnant, and you're like, hey, I'm not reading all the, like, oh, I'll look at it. No, you don't look at it, right? But actually, it's all true. All that stuff works. So you actually have to stop and say, wait a minute. Mira, come here. Sammy, come here. You got to, scrape it off. Good. Now turn the thing on. Now wash it off. Wait, you spilled some water. Get a paper towel. Okay, clean that up. You got to do one. Everything has to be maximum effort. For crying out loud. I don't work hard enough, Raj. Carrying Raj every day. It's hard enough work. So I got to do the same thing with Raj around here. Okay, right, Raj. Now you got to put on the Zoom screen. Good. Now enlarge it so I can see it. Very good. Orlando in West Covina. It might as well have been West Covina in Orlando. Could go either way there. Go ahead, Orlando.
Hey, Max. Thank you for taking my call.
Today. I just want to say thank you for taking my call. Come on, Orlando. Hit it already.
I just wanted to agree that I do think that KD has more pressure than Giannis, but let alone has the most pressure out of anyone in the playoffs right now.
That KD does?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree, because KD went and he left Golden State. Oh, these championships don't count because I joined a 73-win team? That's right, KD. Paul George could have joined that team. They couldn't have lost. They could not have lost. So, oh, all right, I'll go form my own team. It was him and Kyrie. I'm like, I don't know if that'll be enough. It'll be interesting, though. Let's see. Then they got James Harden, and then it worked. With Mike D'Antoni on the bench, James Harden was like, it's been ridiculous. But now that just ratchets up the pressure. Okay, KD, you did it again. You got a super team again, a super-duper team again. Now, he's perceived as the best player in that team. Got to win. I agree. A lot of pressure on KD. Harry in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah. I have to say, yesterday I felt a little betrayed listening to the show. I was just wondering why you wanted me as a Mets fan to change allegiances to the Yankees, because the only thing worse than a Cowboys fan is a bandwagon fan.
Well, so I'm not asking you as a Mets fan to change allegiances. I'm not asking you. What I said was that I don't understand fans who come to a city like New York or L.A. from somewhere else, and they realize, okay, I'm going to live here from now on. I got to adopt the hometown team. I always love the team I come from, but I got to adopt the hometown team. I don't understand why they would choose to raise their kids if you come to New York and have a choice as a Mets fan instead of a Yankees fan. You're consigning your children to a lifetime of misery as though you don't love them. Same thing, Clippers fan in LA. I can't bring myself to come root for the Lakers. Here, little Johnny. Here, be a Clippers fan and be miserable for the rest of your life. That's what I... Now, if you're in New York and your dad was a Dodgers fan or a Giants fan from way back in the day, or your grandfather at this point, whatever, and they hated the Yankees, so you can... I get it. You're a Mets fan. Or if you live in Queens or Long Island, you're a Mets fan. I get it. I'm not on you for that. I just don't understand why someone would... I got to L.A. What, am I going to be a Clippers fan? No, I get to be one of the great cultural advantages of moving to L.A. is you get to root for the Lakers. I'm frothing at the mouth about this. Cameron in Louisiana, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Max? So, I want to talk Nets. I like D'Antoni point. That's a nice take. It was subtle. It was on the low. It's going to be a great experiment for him. The thing about the Nets, the 130, I think they can put up 130. I've seen them put up 130. But how often and at what efficiency? I mean, the big three giving you 30. Joe Harris, season average is 14. That puts you at what, like 90 plus 14, 104? We're doing 26-point lobs. And then who's picking up the defense on the Nets? That's why.
Well, I would say this. First of all, I hear what you're saying. I think that's the thing about the big three is how efficient they are. Like, people view this Nets team as like, it's like the Warriors. They have too many superstars to win. But it's even worse than that for the rest of the league. Because that Rockets team with Harden and without anyone else, really, like Chris Paul was hurt in Game 7, missed 27 consecutive threes against the Warriors with KD, Steph, Klay, Dre, everyone. And they only lost by single digits in a Game 7 at home. What were they even doing playing a home game? D'Antoni's system run by Harden is incredibly efficient offensively and better defensively than given credit for. So now it's like D'Antoni has his system run by Harden, but instead of like Clint Capella or Trevor Ariza, they have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. At least against the Warriors, you could like... Klay can put the ball on the floor and make decisions, but that's not why he's in the NBA, right? At least you could do that. Maybe we could have some defensive idea of what we want to do. You can't do that to the Nets' big three. You want to make Kyrie put the ball on the floor? He's going to put you on skates. They can all get their shot whenever they want, from wherever they want, and hit it at historically high efficiency levels, no matter what their usage. That's the whole thing about the Nets offense, especially with D'Antoni on the bench and Kyrie recognizing it, saying, here, James, here's the ball. You're the point guard. It's stupidly efficient. It's the most efficient brand of basketball ever played with the best players ever running the system. We got playing games tonight. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.